Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Now, imagine with me, you are a Chinese immigrant. You have just moved to the United States. Your English is not very good. You don't really know how to read the websites that are written in English that have all the information you need about where to eat and where to do laundry and where to get your taxes done. What do you do? Well, one person, Zach Song, he decided to help out his friends. And what did he do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into the article, allow me to introduce my panelists. Here we have Linda here. How are you, Linda?
I'm great, Campbell. It's wonderful to be back.
Are you excited to talk more about these Chinese websites?
Yes, I am.
All right, great. And we have Albert back in the studio with us.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back.
All right, Albert. What did you learn from yesterday's lesson?
A lot of things, Campbell. And I want to just touch upon one thing, which is the author used stubborn reality of how these websites pop up because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a little bit unfair, because the word stubborn has like a negative connotation, where it's like, oh, they're determined to not change. But I feel like living in Taiwan, I know a lot of expats who just like, after a while, you know, at the end of the day, after a long day of work or whatnot, they just want to go back to what's familiar. Like, it's like we're a creature of habit. So mm-hmm. like, they kind of like group up or hang out with the people. And I feel like this happens as well when you're overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just kind of default to what's easier.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think this word stubborn is referring to the people. I think it's more describing the idea that this reality is unchanging.
Right.
You know?
It's just something that you can't deny.
Right.
This is how it is.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have these websites that come up and
exactly.
help.
Exactly. Yeah, just the reality is that people are moving to another country and they don't speak the language and they need this help. And
yeah.
So this is something that's unchanging, and it's kind of something that's hard to change and hard to solve and hard to cure, which
okay,
is what that stubborn is referring to.
Hopefully with these websites we can overcome it.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So we have several websites that we talked about yesterday. Two Red Beans, which is now Linda's new favorite website, right? And we have ETA Car, which is the Chinese version of Uber. 2go626.com, which is a delivery app that works with 400 restaurants, so you can order food, have it sent to your house or your office. And
yeah, it seems like there's a Chinese version of everything, you
exactly.
know?
And that's what we're talking about when we say this is a parallel Chinese language internet, right?
It exists at the same time and place.
Exactly. So there's an English version and then there's a Chinese version.
Right.
Just to make life easier for everyone. All right. Well, so we learned about ChineseInLA.com, and this site was launched in 2006, and it's one of the oldest parts of the Chinese language internet. Now, Zach Song, who is the founder of this site, he says that it began as a Wikipedia-style collection of knowledge that he hoped would help new immigrants combat the feeling of helplessness that he and his wife felt when they first came from Shanghai in 2003. So what are we talking about when we say a Wikipedia-style collection?
Well, it's a website that collects information from different sources. People actually contribute this information, and they change it as time goes on, there's new information.
Right.
So it's from like a combination.
Right. So it's more just a collection of information. It's just if you're looking for where to get your taxes done, where to get your laundry done, it's just kind of a list of information, kind of like the way Wikipedia is designed. But how did ChineseLA.com go from being a Wikipedia-style collection to being its current form? Well, let's take a look at today's article. Today's article is on page 35. So if you have your magazine or your mobile device, please do join us, and we'll start at the top of the page.
The website's users eventually grew more interested in selling things. So Song redesigned the website to function like Craigslist and include business listings and reviews like Yelp. As online advertising became their main source of revenue, He incorporated Chinese language news posts and discussion forums to draw traffic. Nowadays, the website looks like an exploded phone book. Information must be extracted from a colorful blinking tower of dozens of different ads for things such as luxury car rentals, travel agencies, and tutoring services. Song acknowledged that the design is chaotic, but the site is profitable, he said. Traffic has grown steadily as the county's Chinese population and tourism levels rise. More than half of Los Angeles County's Chinese population speaks limited English, according to the American Community Survey, and a larger, temporary population of Chinese students, tourists, and travelers has even fewer English skills.
So, how did ChineseInLA.com go from being a Wikipedia-style collection to the current status that it has? Well, website users eventually grew more interested in selling things. So what did Song do?
Well, he redesigned the website, and it functions more like Craigslist, like we mentioned in the first day, and it included business listings and reviews like Yelp. So I feel like it's just basically because it was so helpful and useful that people went there and they wanted more. They needed more.
Right.
And just included everything else that you do from a day-to-day basis, including finding places, selling things, buying things.
Right. And then eventually it evolved even further, right, Linda?
Yeah, it became, well, online advertising became the main source of income or revenue. And so we incorporated Chinese language news and posts and discussion forums to attract people to
That's
the website.
Right. So they wanted to draw traffic. So for people who don't know how websites and online advertising works, basically people pay to put ads on your website. And the more traffic or the more people you have visiting your site, the more you can charge for the online advertising.
Right. And specifically websites or ad buyers, well, I'm like, oh, it seems like your website draws in huge people like of a certain type,
right.
Chinese in specific. So I guess the website's adapting to like, oh, we're going to draw even more of those types of people.
Right.
And they're not kidding about the ads, by the way. Again, like we mentioned this in the first day, there's a lot of ads on this website. And it's almost to the point of ridiculousness, but, you know, it's really helpful. Like, a lot of these ads are for, like, lawyers, attorneys, tax preparers,
mm-hmm.
and you need this
services.
When you move. When you go to a new community, you mm-hmm. need these people, like a circle, a team to help you out.
Yeah. So we kind of see the evolution of this site, right? We see how it started off as just a collection of information. Then the users started wanting to sell things. So Song redesigned the website to function like a Craigslist and have business listings. And then he realized, hey, online advertising was giving them money, right? It became their main source of revenue. So he decided, I need to create more traffic. And so now the site also provides news posts and discussion forums. All right. So it's growing and growing. And nowadays, like Albert said, the website looks like an exploded phone book. And if you go on that site, it does look like an exploded phone book.
Yeah, that's an accurate description.
Yeah. Nobody uses phone books now, but yeah, just that idea of like an ad after ad after ad after ad after ad after ad.
There's flashing, scrolling text. It's everywhere, and it's actually kind of helpful, I feel like. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to find what you're looking for.
Right, because previously, before the internet, you would just use word of mouth. Like, oh, who do you use to help you out with XYZ or mm-hmm. getting forms or documents? Well, here, come here and find out.
Yeah, and I mean, when you looked at a phone book in the past, there was no search. There was no,
mm-mm.
you know, it was just kind of a lot of boxes, you know, and that's kind of what it looks like. So, you know, it's something people are familiar with and they're used to. And so it says here, information must be extracted from a colorful blinking tower of dozens of different ads. So that just means you got to pull out that information yourself. And what are these ads for?
Well, we have ads for luxury car rentals, travel agencies, and even tutoring services.
Right. So if you are a person that provides these services, maybe you can check out ChineseInLA.com or ChineseInAnyOneOfTheseOtherCities.com and put your ad out there and let people know that you provide that service. Now, how does Song feel about his site? Does he feel like it's chaotic?
Yeah, he does describe it as chaotic, or acknowledges the fact that it's chaotic and kind of disorganized. But he says it's profitable. And I guess that's what it boils down to.
Right. So he is making money, right? He is gaining revenue from the site. And traffic has grown steadily as the county's Chinese population. Now, the county that we're talking about is the San Gabriel Valley, right?
That's correct.
In Los Angeles. The Chinese population and tourism levels rise. Now, we have some facts here about the Chinese population in this area. Can you share that with us, Albert?
Yeah, so it's more than half of the LA County Chinese population speaks limited English. And a larger temporary population of Chinese students, tourists, and travelers have even fewer English skills.
Right. So temporary population, meaning they come and stay for a short time, whether it's, you know, a few weeks, a few days, a few months, a few years, and then they move back. So their English is maybe not as strong as people who live there permanently. But as I said yesterday, in this community, you can actually do pretty well without needing to speak English, because there is such a large Chinese community. If you're driving on the street, you actually see Chinese on the signs,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a place where a lot of people don't speak English very well. So it makes sense that there would be this kind of online community where people can connect and share information and let people know that, hey, you know, if you don't speak English, I can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And these websites, they're not just for immigrants, you know, people who have moved to the U.S.,
mm-hmm,
but they're also for people who are there for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Tourists, just travelers, students.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, so how are these sites, how is ChineseInLA.com and some of these other sites that we talked about earlier, how are they helping these Chinese immigrants? Well, let's continue our article right now.
A different perspective. But Zoe Zhu, a third-year psychobiology major at UCLA, said that she and her friends came to the United States to experience and understand American life. Chinese apps and websites, and the Chinese neighborhoods that they lead students to, help Chinese students feel a sense of belonging in a strange country, Zhu said. But she and her friends are always working on their English. We go abroad to experience a different perspective, Zhu said. As long as we keep learning, the barrier will be decreased. The Chinese language internet is starting to reflect that. Chihuo now lists a few American restaurants, and a recent Chihuo pamphlet included recommendations from Los Angeles Times food critic Jonathan Gold. To-go 626 is attracting more non-Chinese customers. And some of the apps serving Chinese immigrants have started to incorporate a new feature. With a single tap, all of the text in the apps can be translated back into English.
All right, so we have a different perspective here, right? So a different way of looking at these Chinese apps. And we hear from Zoe Zhu, and she's a third-year psychobiology major at UCLA. Now, psychobiology is an area of psychology that studies the biological functions, emotions, and behaviors of humans and other animals. All right, so she and her friends came to the United States to do what?
Experience and understand American life. And
right.
With that major, I think she would be interested in, you know, experiencing and understanding a different culture.
Right, but if she's going to be doing all these Chinese apps and these Chinese websites, in a way, she's kind of just going back into the Chinese community. So she's not really experiencing American life, right? And this is kind of what we're talking about here, is that, yeah, these apps are helpful and she appreciates these apps, but she's not just getting stuck in these apps, right? She's also expanding herself and
right.
extending herself.
The important thing is not to be so dependent on these Chinese websites or Chinese versions of things, but to also check out the English versions, the real versions.
Right, yeah. So, well, I don't know if they're real.
I know.
Both are very real. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
The parallel version. Yeah, so Chinese apps and websites and the Chinese neighborhoods that they lead students to, right? So a lot of these businesses are in Chinese neighborhoods and areas, right? So they're bringing them into these Chinese areas. And so it can be very easy for them to just kind of get comfortable,
mm-hmm.
right? And just kind of like, hey, this is very familiar. And it can help them to feel like they belong in the strange country. But Zhu and her friends are always working on their English. And she says something interesting here. What does she say about going abroad?
Well, she says, we go abroad to experience a different perspective. And as long as we keep learning, the barrier will be decreased.
Right. So for her, she appreciates these sites and the information that she's gaining, but she's not just comfortable being in that zone, right? She's trying to expand her horizon. She's trying to experience new things. And the Chinese language internet is starting to reflect that, right? So they're realizing also that, yes, Chinese people want to learn about the Chinese community. They want to learn about where the Chinese restaurants are. But a lot of people are coming so that they can experience American life and American culture, right? So we have an example here about Chihuo. What is Chihuo doing now?
They're listing a few American restaurants so that people can, you know, get exposed,
right,
to more American culture.
Yeah, so they can kind of expand beyond the Chinese food, right? Because America, there's a lot of great food.
Mm-hmm.
There's Indian and Korean and
Italian.
Japanese, Italian and Mexican, and there's a lot of different types of food out there. And so for a Chinese person, if they're looking to find out, well, what's a good Mexican restaurant that I can go to? They can find that information now in Chinese on Chihuo. And a recent Chihuo pamphlet included something interesting.
It included a recommendation from Los Angeles Times food critic Jonathan Gold. I believe he is one of the first journalists, food critic, actually, to receive a Pulitzer Prize, which is like a medal of excellence,
right,
in the field of journalism.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's an important person,
mm-hmm.
and he does a lot of good recommendations. And so now this Chihuo pamphlet is including recommendations from him. And so it's kind of expanding the range, right? So it's not just Chinese restaurants. All right. And to go 626 that we talked about yesterday, which is a delivery app that works with about 400 restaurants, most of which are in the Chinese neighborhoods. This site is attracting more non-Chinese customers, right?
So I like how it's going both ways. You know, now it's introducing Native Americans that are of not like Chinese ethnicity,
right,
to the culture.
So, you know, I think it's good. It's kind of like making things more international and more accessible to everyone. And something else that's interesting about these apps is happening. What else is happening here?
They're starting to incorporate a new feature, and that's with a single tap, all the text in the apps can be translated back into English. So there's this option to look at the English version.
Right. So why do you think that would be helpful?
Well, I feel like, you know, when you're learning something, anything, it's better to, like, give it a try, like, actually use it,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to, like, retain the memory of it,
right,
a lot better.
Yeah.
So now, you know, when people are looking up for something, like food or something,
mm-hmm.
After they place their order, they can change the language from Chinese to English,
mm-hmm.
and they can see, like, oh, this is what I just navigated through.
Mm-hmm.
And for future reference, you know, maybe when I go to the store itself, I don't need the app.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in a way, it's good for English learning.
Yeah. Right.
I think another aspect.
And a lot of times the site in its original language has much more information.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a lot more from that. Like sometimes when it's translated, they don't translate everything.
Mm-hmm.
I find that here with Chinese websites, you look on the they have an option for English version,
right,
but it doesn't have nearly the amount of information,
right,
as it does on the Chinese version.
Right.
It's like bare minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing I thought of is just, you know, sometimes, you know, these people, these immigrants, they move and then they have kids and the kids are kind of, they speak English, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they're living in that area. And there's no reason why they wouldn't need this information as well, right? But maybe their Chinese is not as good as their parents.
Oh.
You know? Like, for example, Albert, you grew up in L.A., and mm-hmm. your Chinese is not as good as your parents, but maybe you want the information for that area as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, totally.
Maybe you want to help your parents find some tax lawyer or whatever.
Yeah, right? Actually, after this article, I forwarded my parents the website, and they love it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of good information. So, you know, maybe your Chinese isn't as good, but you want this information, and so now you can look at all this information in English. And why not? Especially for two red beans, Linda.
Right?
You would
want
to use that site in English.
I think you've made your point, Campbell.
But I feel like this website is super helpful. Like, the next time I visit, or, you know, I go back to L.A. and visit, I feel like now I can read from a perspective like of a Chinese person,
right?
First generation or whatnot. Because
mm-hmm.
usually before it was like, oh, the recommendations would be through somebody who's like second generation American, Chinese American
sure.
or something.
Yeah. I mean, definitely we live in a very interesting time, right? And, you know, in the past, I know when my parents moved, or even when I moved when I was young, the internet was not available. There was no internet, you know, I'm kind of dating myself, but there was no internet. So, you know, people had to, it was harder for people to get the information they needed and to kind of assimilate
definitely.
Into the culture. But now with apps and the internet, it's just a lot easier.
Yeah, you have all this information at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say, I feel like, you know, everyone did fine without it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is making people less dependent on others? Like, in the sense, like, they're not reaching out more? Or do you feel like this is actually making the community as a whole tighter? Because everyone has, like, more information. They can tap into more things.
I think both. I think they, you know, I think it's making it more accessible and it's easier for people to connect on the internet and kind of share information. And so it's easier for people to just kind of adjust and to get that sense of belonging in the community and not feel so foreign or, mm-hmm. or so isolated. But, you know, I think with any kind of technology, people can kind of get so dependent on it and just, you know, stop talking to each other. So I think with anything, there's like the pros and the cons, you know? But I do think that all these apps are helping, you know, and if any of our students out there who are listening and you're maybe thinking about moving to the United States, maybe you should check out this site, you know, and it maybe will help you feel less intimidated by the fact that you're going to be moving to a new country and you don't know what to do or where to go or who can help you. Because, I mean, the fact is there are Chinese people all over.
Mm-hmm.
There really are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Linda was born in Jamaica. There's a huge mm-hmm. Chinese community.
Well, I wouldn't say huge, but yeah, significant.
Significant, yeah. I mean, more than I thought, you know. Because mm-hmm. usually you think of Jamaicans, you know, they're kind of dark-skinned, you know. But there is a significant Chinese community mm-hmm. out in
a lot of places, like you wouldn't think. Also, Cuba, I mean, in the Caribbean, you know, in South America.
Yeah.
There are Chinese communities everywhere.
That's
in
right.
Africa.
That's right. Chinese people, we're a force, right? So it's good to be able to kind of combine all this knowledge. You know, there's people who have moved there ahead of you, and they've kind of paved the way for you. They've kind of figured out how life works there, and, you know, it's good that there's a platform or a community where people can share that information so that people don't have to kind of reinvent the wheel and start from scratch. Right?
Exactly. And these websites are great tools. Just as a reminder, again, as we met Zoe Zhu, she wants to use them as tools, not to be completely dependent on them. And same
exactly.
with the Chinese community, too. I mean, it's great for getting information and, you know, helping you to assimilate, but also you need to get out into the rest of the community,
you know,
experience what's out there.
Right. All right, so let's review quickly the different sites that we talked about. The main site we talked about was ChineseInLA.com, and what is that?
Well, it's a website that was started in 2006, and it's a hodgepodge or hybrid mixture of Yelp, Craigslist, all these pre-existing websites, and it just runs in parallel with the English internet mm-hmm. in America.
That's right. So there's a lot of information, a lot of ads on there for people who can offer services to help you. But again, be careful of the phishing scams, right? Ooh. So these different scams that kind of try to get your information and steal money from you. All right. And there's 吃货, which is what?
It's a website for finding places to eat. Restaurants.
That's right. And connected with that is togo626.com, which is a delivery app that works with about 400 restaurants. So people can go on the website or the app and they can order food and have it delivered to their house. And we also see a Chinese version of Uber. What is that?
It's ETA car. So you can like have, you won't be stranded anywhere.
That's
definitely
right.
You can have car service.
Yes. And two red beans, 两颗红豆.
Campbell's favorite website so far.
It is for single friends like Linda.
It's an online dating website.
That's right. I mean, it does look kind of interesting. If I were in the dating world, I might check it out. But thankfully, I'm happily married and I have two beautiful daughters. So for single friends out there, maybe you can check out this tworedbeans.com. All right, friends. So there's a lot of great information, a lot of great websites and apps out there to help all of you. So we want to encourage you, if you have that dream to move to the United States or to move abroad, then make some plans, right? It's not as scary as you might think. And there are a lot of resources out there that can help you to adjust to life. So we hope that this article was interesting for you, and we hope that it gave you some really good information to help you plan for your trip abroad, whether you're just going for a temporary time, a short time, or you're planning to move permanently. We just hope that you will be able to use some of this information. And as always, we are with you wherever you go. You can just join us on the internet or bring your mobile device with you, and we will be your friend for life wherever you are. So remember to let us know what you thought of this article. Write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. You can always check out our QR code for some fun features and more information. But until next time, it's time for us to say goodbye. Take care, friends.